Blog Talk Radio. Well, amen tonight. Amen tonight. Just want to give thanks and praise to God, who's the head of our, he's the head of our life. He's the one that has done everything for me. And all the praise that I give, I have to give to him, because I know if it had not been for him, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be able to say anything tonight. So I just thank God for all that he's done for me. And so tonight we come with the word of God, and we just want to encourage you and each and every one of you on the line. I thank you for coming on the line. I just want to know if anyone got a scripture tonight. They like to give an opening scripture tonight. Let me see where you are tonight so I can see where I'm going. And if anyone got a testimony or request to be made known right now, we want to hear from you. Well, amen. I guess nobody got a testimony. Am I on? I pray God that I'm on. Am I on?
Yeah, we can hear you, Pastor.
Amen. I just thought maybe I wasn't on there. I didn't hear nobody say anything.
Thank God.
I got a testimony. Thank God. Good God and the God, head of my life. Thank God, my testimony. Thank God for saving me. And thank God I made 52 years old today. My kids in good health. My grandkids in good health. Got abundance phone call from family members and friends today that I ain't heard from in a long time. So I thank God for all that. Thank God for them. Thank God for my cousin and his daughter. Things that happened to them just last night. I just thank God for his word being true and that he moving in and moving upon folks' life and changing the minds of people. And I thank God for all that he's done. I'm in good health, healed, and doors is open and reopening. I just thank God for it, regardless of what.
Amen. Amen. We'll have to come take you out for your birthday tomorrow, Doctor. Amen. That's all we can do. We will.
Happy birthday, Brother Ray.
Happy birthday.
You say what?
We have to come take
happy
you out.
Happy birthday, Mr. Ray.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. We have to take you out for your birthday. So praise God.
What was that smart remark you made?
He said, happy birthday, Brother Ray. Hallelujah.
Who?
Sister Paige said, happy birthday.
Well, I heard it. Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Anybody else tonight, amen? You got opening scripture? Brother Brian, you got opening scripture you'd like to give tonight? Let's see where we are tonight.
When I don't be expecting you to say nothing, but you always hit me when I don't be expecting you to say nothing. Most times you already, come in already ready and everything. And then I'm ready to listen to you. Then when I'm ready, then they're expecting something. Be always ready.
You don't never know. You don't never know.
Now you hit me between the eyes.
Praise God. Amen.
You did this thing here, man. Let's see here. Let me get my book ready here because there's some questions I want to ask you. I've been dying to ask you so much, but I feel I'm reading because you are my hero for the, I said, I'm not saying see what this one said about here. Religion ambition. Jesus on the Pharisee. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their salvation wide and taste of their garment long. They love the place of honor and banquet and the most important seat in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect and make marketplace to be called Rabbi by other. That's Matthew 23:5-7.
Amen. Praise God. In other words, they just want to be seen. They just want to be seen. Amen.
Yep.
So thank God. Well, amen. Thank God for that. For that, we're opening scripture there. You know, I just want to talk about this because, you know, a lot of things, you know, we hear sometime and we, there's a lot of things that we hear so many times and you get to looking around and all of a sudden you start seeing those things come to pass. You start seeing those things happening and then it makes you get concerned about them. You know, I know they always say shouldn't look at it, but I believe God tells us to pay attention. Pay attention. I said, pay attention, you know, to what's going on. Pay attention to what's going on. Keep a watch out for what's happening. And there's a lot of things I didn't think about. I thought about the 9/11, and I realized that was an emergency call they started. And I realized that 9/11, September the 11th, you know, all the tragics happened. That's what they call that place up there. And I realized the devil is real smooth. You know, the devil knows when the people call themselves the enlightened one, that they know a little bit more than we know. And see, they know that Jesus was really born on 9/11 because something good happened on 9/11 and they want to cause a catastrophe to happen on 9/11, you know. And so therefore, they're in tune. They're in tune. With everything, they got the right calendar. They don't use the pagan calendar like we do, you know. Our calendar is the pagan calendar, and all these events and things that is taking place in the world today, all of those things are pre-planned event to take place on a day that Jesus did something. I can guarantee you that's something they're going to do on that day that Jesus did something. They're always pre-planned. The devil is always trying to counterfeit Jesus. This is why we call him the Antichrist, because he's out to counterfeit. He's out to have it to look like something or make it to be something. And so let us keep watch. Keep a watch. You know, you a long time ago I heard about the chemtrails. I need to see that plane in the air spraying out. And I said, oh, man, I wonder what that plane doing. Then when you come back and you see the event, it calls you to take knowledge of the event that you've seen. I see all these breaking shop. I mean, all these people go in these shops instead of breaking in. And the guy said, look like they're organized. They're organized. And I realized all of that is pre-planned. Pre-planned events. They're doing that to cause catastrophe.
Amen.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it, to cause catastrophe. And that way, you know, because they're doing that, that's going to cause martial law to come in after a while. You ain't going to be able to go nowhere.
What?
You're not going to be able to do a lot of things that you used to do is because they're going to keep you off the street. Because of what's going on. All those are pre-planned events. Amen. School shootings. Pre-planned events. And they put that in the minds of the children through music, and through the television, all that anger they're being displayed, all this shooting going on. Well, you know what's behind that. They're coming to take your guns. Even though you might not have one, but they don't know that. So they keep them out of your house because they don't know what you got. But that's a gun grab. And you hear the people talking about it now. Our school shooting, need to take the guns. But it's not the guns that's killing people. People are killing people. And all these events and all these things that are taking place is to get us into fear so that we will bow down, so that we will be willing to do what they want to do just to get outside, just to go outside, just to have a little freedom. And all these things is to put us into bondage. And so we got to be paying attention to it. And I said, don't get in fear because something good is getting ready to happen for us. That let us know the coming of the Lord now. I know it says in Isaiah that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. But everything that riseth against us, we condemn it right now. And we got to start condemning that stuff in the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, we shall condemn. And so that the enemy is bringing up all of these things to be against us. And so in these last days, we have got to get ready to take a stand, to take a stand on the word of God, to take a stand by faith. Amen. We got to get it to a time. We got to start believing God. And I'm going to ask y'all to help me out a little bit tonight. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Revelation tonight. Amen. I want to talk about, amen, you got to have a death sentence. I want to talk about the death sentence tonight. A death sentence. Revelation chapter 6. Amen. Praise God. When I talk about the death sentence. Let's start at Revelation chapter, maybe Revelation chapter 2. Before I go to chapter 6. Revelation chapter 2 and 10. That's where I take a subject from, I guess. And then we'll go to Revelation chapter 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. And y'all can help me out tonight because I'm going to get your point of view on some of these things that's going on. We know that we've got to take a stand. Revelation 2 and 10, what Jesus talked about. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prisons, that ye might be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Get ready, he said. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death. And I thought about that. David, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. Anybody want to help me out with that? What does it mean that we're going to be faithful? He's telling us to be faithful unto death. What is he saying for the people of God? He's giving you his word to tell us to be faithful unto death. He's letting us know all these things are going to be taking place. They're going to be putting you into jail. Amen. They're going to be putting you in the prison. You might end up in a concentration camp. You might end up in the dungeon like Jeremiah. I don't know. Amen. You might end up in a furnace like the Hebrew children. You might end up in the lion's den like Daniel. But we got to continue and remain faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. Amen. Praise God. And that's what he said that we're going to have to do as the people of God in these last days. We're going to have to take a stand and be faithful unto death. And what that means, and what it means, be faithful unto death, we got to be willing to die for what we believe. You got to be willing to die to take a stand. And we got to get to the place where that we're willing to die to take a stand. And the reason I talk about it, we got to be willing to die for it, to take a stand, you know, it would be better to die in the Lord than to die in the hands of a man. It would be better to die in the Lord. In other words, you know, you might want to try to save yourself, amen. And he that tried to save his life going to lose his life. So I would rather lose my life in the Lord because I'm expecting the resurrection on the other side. I've got something better on the other side, and we got to start looking beyond what's going on now and seeing what we have in God later on, you know. In other words, we got to be looking forward to something. And God wants the people of God now to start looking forward, start looking up, looking up. When I see all these things, look up for your redemption. In other words, we're getting ready to be redeemed from this earth. And all these things has to take place first before the coming of the Lord draw nigh. But he says, you got to learn how to be faithful unto death. And I've always said this time after time, again, that the people of God, when we get to a place where we're not scared to die, we got the victory. I'm not saying that I've gotten there yet, but I'm trying to get there, amen. I'm not trying to say I've gotten there yet, but I'm trying to work toward it because I realize that Jesus wants me to be faithful unto death. In other words, I can't give up right now. I mean, I can't stop. I can't quit. I got to remain who I am or what I am. When we talk about being faithful, I got to remain loyal to Christ regardless of what I go through, regardless of what you suffer, regardless of what is said about you. It's up to you whether or not you remain faithful or not. It's not up to God on this, but God has given us the strength. He's given us the power. When he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us the power to be able to do things that we couldn't do on our own. But he said, you got to learn how to be faithful unto death. We got to get our courage up. We got to get our faith up. But he said, be thou faithful unto death. And so I've got to have a death sentence. You got to put a death sentence on your life. And I know that's not, don't sound real good because this is what you have to do to be able to stand in the last day. You got to be willing to die. That's what Jesus was telling us. You got to be willing to die. So he's telling us, be faithful unto death. Now, the reason we should be able to be faithful is because we know we have a reward. We know that we're going to receive a reward for this. If you turn to Revelation chapter 6, you can see that God wants to he's going to reward those who remain faithful. Hallelujah. He's going to reward the one that remains faithful. And so we know we got a reward at hand. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said to the people, some people in Revelation. They remained faithful. And they was willing to go through this stuff for the name of the Lord's sake, for Jesus' sake. Have you gotten to a place yet where that you think that you believe that you can take the knife or go to prison? Have we gotten to a place where you can remain faithful even though you might not be able to eat the same food that you used to eat? I know some of you, you know, you used to eat that steak and pork chop and caviar. And I don't know whatever kind of expensive food is. I don't know, really know what expensive food is, but all that expensive food you've been used to eating, you're going to have to come down and start eating beans. Can we remain faithful even when we're just eating beans and you can't have the thing that you used to eat? Are we going to remain faithful? Amen. Now, I would raise up on beans and cornbread and stuff like that. I didn't know what steak was and too much, amen. You didn't have steak but maybe once a month or whatever, you know, with all that other kind of stuff we ate all the time. But I've got accustomed to it. You know, I can take a pan of bread and a bowl of milk and I can make it, amen. And you won't even know the difference because I've already been there. I've already lived through that at one time and I made it, amen. And I made it. God brought me through it, amen. I've lived in a house before that we didn't have central heat, didn't have central air. Amen. Didn't have nothing but a window open. I've been there already. I've done that already. And because I've done that, I made it. God calls me to make it. And what we're trying to say to us, even in this hour, in this time, if we have to go back there, are we still going to remain faithful, even when we only just going to eat some beans? So I ain't got time tonight. Somebody calling. Praise God. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 6. Amen. I'm going to look at verse 9 tonight. Amen. Verse 8. Let me catch this. Somebody calling me. I can't catch the call. Amen. Praise God. Somebody want to read that for me? You want to read that, somebody? Because you might want to talk about it yourself. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Is all of y'all on mute? Amen. Let me see here, amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I see here where they was killed. They was willing to die for the testimony that they held. They was willing to die for the name of Jesus, amen. They was willing to die for what they believed. And here, John is letting them know, he saw some people that was willing to die. They was willing to give their life rather than the switch. You know, I remember that commercial said, I rather fight than switch. And here, right here, we've got to get to a place I'd rather die than to change. And this is where, when you get serious about the thing, in these last days, in these last times, it's going to come a time where that you're going to be rather fight, you're going to be rather to fight than switch. We got to get to that place in the Lord, because this is getting to be serious time. And because of the serious time, and you know, it's talk about these are wicked times, I want to call it, amen. Timothy called it, these are perilous times. In the last days, there's going to be perilous times, amen. It's going to be a time like never before, but are the people of God going willing to be able to stand by faith? It's got to be by faith. This is why you got to be willing to die rather than to switch. You got to be willing to die rather than to give up on the name of Jesus. So it's getting to that time now that people of God have to gain their faith and confidence in God, to believe on his word, that I'm going to stand here on what the word says, and I'm not going to get off the word, even if I die, because if I die, I'm going to die in the Lord. I would rather die in the Lord than die out of the Lord. And so they were slain. They was killed with the and I looked in the pale horse, and the name of him that sat on the death and hell followed him, and power was given him over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw that all the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And this is the kicker right here. This is the thing that we got to be expecting. This is what we got to be looking for. In verse 11 here it says, and white robes were given unto them. The white robe was given to them who they rather die. They would rather die than take the mark, amen. They would rather die than to get into the world system of things. And the way the world system is being set up now, amen, they want to control you. They want to direct you in order for you to eat, in order for you to drink, in order for you to have anything, in order for you to go anywhere, in order for you to come out of your house. And you get stuck back up in there, and all of a sudden you want to come out. So you would rather give in than be willing to suffer and go through those things. It's going to come a time for that, and I can see it coming down. I can see it coming down the road. When I get to a place where I see they go, if they start forcing one thing on you and make you take it, then they're going to be able to force everything else on you to make you take it. I don't know if you noticed that over in here's something else I've watched. The over there in Australia, you know, they can go into your bank, the bank account that you got, they can go in your bank account in Australia and take your money and don't even have to give you no reason for them doing it except that they wanted to do it. And then in order for you to be able to eat, in order for you to be able to get something out of it or get it back, you got to get into their system to get the money back. Well, what does that sound like to you? What kind of setup does that sound like to you? Does that sound like it's a setup for the mark of the beast that you won't be able to buy and sell except you take the mark of the beast? Does that sound like what's going on? What's your opinion,
amen,
on that? What is your opinion on that?
Amen, Pastor. I feel like that's exactly what's going on. Because for one, the world is on one accord with certain things, and in the world, all these countries ain't never been on one accord on one certain thing like where it is now. So I feel like it's all leading up, like you said, to the mark of the beast.
Amen. It's leading up to the what we call the one world order. They've been working on this thing. It's been planned for so long. They've been planning this thing. Is leading up to a one world order that everybody will be in the same boat, have to go through the same thing, have to get on the same program. I don't like talking about this, but I have to talk about it tonight because I was listening to that stuff last night that popped my ears open. But you can see that the whole world is getting into the same system, and everybody is declaring them to do the same thing. See, this is the banks, this is the CIA, this is our government, all working together with other government. Now, this one thing, this is the time they all come together on the same thing and put everything in the same place and causing everybody, rich or poor, it don't matter whether you're rich. I know the rich people. Now, those people up to the top 1%, you know, the billionaires, you know, those, I hate to call them that, but they call themselves the Illuminati, the one, the bank world that's running this world. They're the one that's pulling the strings on these things. Because who's going to benefit from them things more than them? They want to have you just like a zombie. And it's no different. You know, Facebook coming up with the same thing. What they call it? They call it Megaverse.
The Metaverse.
Megaverse. You know, Facebook going to change its name to Megaverse or whatever you call it. Amen. And so what is it that he wants to do? He wants to get the people of God to separate from one another, to be from one another. Don't want us to congregate together because, you know, this way they keep us apart. And then our God will become Facebook, and our God will become the computer, and our God will become, what do they call it, the thing on Facebook and Snapchat and all that. And this is the way they can continue the program. They're going to get your children, want to get our children out of school and put them on the computer. Because that way they can manipulate. That way they can take over. They can take over their minds because they say, we don't know how to think on our own. We don't know how to think on our own. This is why our thoughts got to become God's thoughts, and our ways got to become God's ways. In other words, it ain't going to work unless our thoughts become God's thoughts and our ways become God's ways. That is the only way that we're going to escape this thing unless we be willing to die. Amen. This is what faith is. This is the kind of faith we're going to have to walk in before long. You know, we've been pity-patting, and we've been playing around, and amen, we've been skipping about, and we're not really being serious, amen. I like what Brother Brian said, amen. I'm just doing it to be seen, but after a while, God's going to pull the covers off. I'm trying to say God's getting ready to pull the covers back. He's going to see who are faithful and who's dedicated, because when it comes to the point of giving up your life, are you going to give in or are you going to just say, go on, kill me? I would rather die in the Lord. Amen. I like what the Bible said about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe. It's talking about Moses by faith, you know, when he was, he refused to be called a child of Pharaoh's daughter rather than to suffer the persecution with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin or the pleasures of the world. He made a decision that I would rather suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin or the pleasure of the wicked. We got to get to a place where we got to come to make a decision like Moses. And Moses did that by faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11. I can't think the exact verse, but Moses made a decision that he was going to suffer with the people of God. He could have went in the palace. He could have enjoyed the riches of the land. He could have enjoyed the good things of the world. I mean, he could have probably sat on the throne. I don't know what all they would have did for him. But he had to make a decision what he was going to do. And he chose rather to stay with the people of God rather than to go with the people of the world. So now it's going to come a time that we're going to have to make a decision just like Moses did. In order to be able to stand in these last days, I would rather suffer than quit. But because they was willing and they was giving it to them, every one of them was said unto them, amen, that they should rest for a little while until their fellow servants and their brethren should be killed as they were fulfilled. Amen. Praise God. I thought about it that when he said, you know, God was going to give them a robe of righteousness. Amen. He gave them a robe. He would give you a robe. He'd put on your robe. He'd give you a crown of life. You know, if we stay there, he give us the crown of life. So we've got to be willing to stand for the testimony of Jesus. And I thought about something when I was sitting here thinking about, I was thinking about what Paul had said in the gospel and the conclusion that Paul came up with in the gospel. And so when we look at what Paul, the conclusion that Paul came up with, amen, in Philippians chapter 1, and y'all can help me here, you can help me out here. Because look, we're living in the last days. In other words, you can say what you believe, but it's going to come a time you're going to have to stand up for what you say you believe. Philippians chapter 1. Let me see. I start at verse 19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that this should turn my salvation through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ Jesus shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What was Paul? Just to get in there, we have to realize, what was Paul's attitude about life? Anybody want to throw in a word or so on that? Anybody want to add into that? What was Paul's attitude about life? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What was he saying here?
Well, I know he used to always say you have to die to yourself daily. So
you got to die to yourself daily. What else?
That to me it was like his attitude was basically I'm gonna die for Christ. If it comes down to it, if I have to give my life for what I believe, I'm gonna give my life for what I believe.
Amen. Praise God. Anyone else?
I say the same thing. He was sold out to Christ.
He was sold out to Christ. He was sold out to Christ. Amen. He was sold out. Amen. Anybody else? I'm trying to give you a chance to get in here tonight because I don't want y'all to go to sleep on me.
Well, I feel the same way as people and Sister Valerie that he would die. Then take on the world system that they were, what the world was doing. And we're going to have to do the same thing, like you said. We're going to have to build our faith up because the time is going to come. We're going to have to say yes to the Lord and no to the world, or yes to the world and no to the Lord. So whether you will or the other. So, but Paul was sold out. And I guess you need to get ready to be sold out too.
Yeah, amen. That he was sold out. And I like the thing about the reason I keep talking about expectation, because if a person don't have expectation, he don't have hope. Anybody don't have expectation, they don't have life. If you're not looking forward to something, then you don't have a hope for nothing. If you're only looking for what hope you have here in this life, then we become miserable people. But even we have expectation even in death. You see, the reason we live the way we live, and the reason we do what we do, because we have an expectation not only in this life, but we also have an expectation in the life to come. And a person with expectation, they change the way they live because they're expecting something else. I'm not going to look at where I am right now because I'm expecting something else. I can't go about the trouble that I'm having now, but I know I'm expecting to have something better somewhere else. So I'm always looking forward to something, and this is what having life more abundantly is. When I'm not just looking for the now, I'm looking for I'm looking forward to something that's better. And so it's always good to be looking better and further to something else rather than looking at things now. But if we're just going to look at what we're going to get here on this earth, amen, then we're going to be looking for people. And I believe somewhere that the Paul said, these light afflictions is just for a moment, but they're working a great more weight of glory. It's giving more weight to it. For what I'm going through now, I got to be willing to go through it now so that I can get something better later on. I can catch hell now, but I know I'm going to get heaven later on. I can go through hell now because I'm going to get God's glory later on. And so we got to come to a place to be just like Jesus. When Jesus came to the place, amen, he was facing death. Yeah, he said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. But he had to bring his mind in line with the spirit so that he could do what he had to do. But the reason he was able to do it because he was expecting something greater. He was expecting something better. This is why I believe the psalmist said, he will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my body suffer corruption. So he had a hope. He had an expectation. And he said, this is why God said we have to have an expectation, because if a person who don't live with expectation, they're dead. They're dead while they're living, because they're not looking for nothing. They're not expecting anything. But the people of God, we're expecting glory. Amen. We're expecting things from on high. You know, we're not just bound to this earth right now. Our thoughts is not just what's going on, but our thoughts is also about what's to come afterwards, because there's something good getting ready to happen to us. And so I got to be, you know, in order to get it, sometimes you got to be willing to die to get it. I need to hook this page up over here, amen.
Praise God, amen. And so here he said, my earnest expectation and my hope in nothing, that I'm not going to be made ashamed. Now the Bible does say hope makes it not ashamed. That the hope we have in Jesus, we won't be ashamed of that hope. We won't be ashamed to have that faith. And just as he wasn't ashamed for what he went through and what he did, he wasn't ashamed to hang naked on the cross. He wasn't ashamed of it. Amen. All of his shame was on that there. Amen. All of the pain was in his hand. He was willing to suffer all of that, all that he went through. Even when they threatened him with death, he said, well, you couldn't do it unless God gave you the right to. Otherwise, you could do nothing to me except God allowed you to do this. You could have no power over me except God gave you that power. And if God gave you that power, so we got to realize that even though when we go through, we're always looking for something better. Dying in the Lord is better than dying out of the Lord, ain't it?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
But what good does it do saving your life to continue to live in this life and go to hell later on? What does it profit? You know, even though Lazarus was resurrected, he had to die again, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
That was a good miracle, amen. He just showed that he had life, but even though he was resurrected, he still had to die again, amen? But thank God that we got a life coming that we ain't going to die no more. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. And see, this is what we're saying. Let's read on down and see what else he says there, amen. For me to live is Christ. If I live in the flesh, if I continue on living in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I don't know not, amen. Now here is a man right here now that he said, I'm in a strait between the two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now look at his attitude that he had toward life. He saw death as being a better thing. I ain't got there yet. I haven't got there yet. Amen. Y'all pray for me. No, I ain't there yet. Amen. Praise God. Don't need to be lying about it. Ain't no need to be lying about it. Amen. Maybe y'all done got there, but I ain't got there yet. Amen. I'm trying to get there, but I haven't crossed that line yet. Maybe some. How many of y'all done crossed that line already? Brother Ray said he is. But amen. I ain't got there yet. Amen. I ain't got there. I haven't gotten there yet.
I know heaven up. I know heaven's a beautiful place, but I kind of like it down here a little bit.
I know it doesn't.
I was just three-quarters of the road ain't got there yet.
I mean, I'm just trying to say we got to get there. This is a man who was sold out totally, amen. This is a man that didn't own nothing. He didn't own nothing. He lived in a rented house, amen. Amen. I mean, maybe he could have had something, amen. He had a trade. I mean, he had some things, but still, he said, when you're in a strait, you know,
He had mixed emotion about where he wanted to be. I guess I would call it that. Would y'all call it a mixed emotion? Sister Bea, would you call it a mixed emotion between, I'm in a street between what? Between two. Verse 23. Explain verse 23 for me there.
Oh, Pastor, I ain't got my Bible. I'm riding in the car.
What is
it? Oh.
What is it?
I'll get it.
Philippians 1:23.
What is it?
For I am in a strait between the two, having the desire to be, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is for better. In other words, that was two.
What book you in?
Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 now.
Okay, Philippians 1, verse 23.
It explained itself? Well, I just wanted to know what somebody else had to say about it.
Okay, hold on, Pastor.
I'm trying to get everybody involved in that. I want you to get involved in it. Amen.
Bewitched too. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Well, he said, for I am in a straight betwixt two.
Having
a desire to depart and be with Christ. Well, he got a desire to depart from his flesh and to be with Christ. In order to be with Christ, we got to separate from ourselves in order to follow Christ. And
all right.
We have to make the separation in order to have that desire. And just like Paul said in Timothy, that my work is done, I've completed it, and he has fought the good fight. And here over here, he personally said the same thing, that he desired to be with Christ, but he has to separate. Every one of us got to separate ourselves, from that fleshly body, from our desires to be with Christ. Because we can't keep ourselves and say we walking with Christ, though we tell a lie and we're not in the spirit. When God said he walked in the spirit, you see, and he walked in truth. So we got to separate ourselves from lies. We got to separate ourselves from the world. We got to separate from our fleshly desires, the lust, the pride of life. All these things we have to come and become separated for in order to have a desire. So when you do that, then you develop a desire for Christ, a hunger and a thirst.
Amen.
He was betwixt. Does that mean that he was?
He's torn between.
He's torn between being here and there. Okay,
yes.
I'm putting you on top.
Yeah. You know, but yeah. In verse 24, he said, "You're by because they needed him, but you'd rather be." They're trying, but he was going to stay because they need him and the flesh with them right now.
Amen. Amen. Verse 24 was talking about nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Mm-hmm. He said, just for my sake now, I'd rather go on and be with Christ.
Right.
I, when you got something betwixt, that means I'm in a between. I'm in between something. I'm in between two opinions or two decisions. Amen. You know, that is the way God always do it all the time. Amen. I set before you life and death, good and evil. Now, choose life. He tells us to choose. We're commanded to choose life, but I'm putting you in between two opinions. And to get to the place that you got to say, well, who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Hallelujah. That we got to be on the Lord's side. And so it comes to a place in life. We're going to come to this place in our life where we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to go with God or are we going to go with our flesh? But here, what Paul was doing, he was just letting them know, I've come to a place that I have a sentence of death on my life. If I have to die to continue to do this, this is what I'm going to do. I've made up my mind. I want to be with Jesus. And when I can see what Paul was saying here, I know he said in Timothy, I fought the good fight and kept the faith. But right here, out of all the struggles and things that he was going through and the suffering that he was going through, amen, he was willing to go through all of that so that what? He could identify with Jesus. In other words, you can't identify with Jesus until you've been through some of this stuff. I'm going to get there in a minute, Amy.
Yeah, I can't read my answer, but I got a book, man, for what's supposed to be the answer to that question from 1 19 to 24, you know, but I'm not going to get in it, but you go ahead and explain it your way, so I'm not even going to get in it.
Oh, well, my way ain't the way it's supposed to be.
I said, I'm not listening to your way, but my book got another answer to it, too, so I'm not good with your way.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to jump over for a minute. I want to go somewhere else, amen. And 2 Corinthians verse 1 and 9. Let's tie this together. Let me tie this together then. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. Let's tie it together here to bring everything together to this. Because we talk about if we're going to take a stand in the last days, you're not. If you're afraid to die, you're not going to be able to stand. Because the reason you're going to give, the reason that most times we give in because we're scared to die. Whenever we are threatened, when you are threatened with something, the reason you give in because you're scared to die. You see, truly, nobody can make you do anything.
Right.
You hear what I say? No one can make you do anything. A man can put a knife to your neck and say, I'm going to rape you. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to kill you.
That's what I give in.
And then why do we normally give in?
You don't want
to
die.
Don't want to die.
You don't want to die, amen. You good enough to say? Hallelujah. Amen. And so when the devil comes, and what does the devil want to threaten you with? The only thing the devil can threaten you with is death, right? So if I'm not afraid to die, what can the devil threaten me with?
Nothing.
I don't know if y'all remember the war that went on. They call it World War II. They call what they call the Cosmocadis. Because that's what they were called. Anybody know what they were? Yeah, kamikaze. Those people, when they were fighting the war over there, they would get in their plane and they take their shot. They take them a shot and they bow their heads and they got in that plane. When they got in that plane, they left to die. If you shot their plane down, they were headed down into the ships and they were sinking ships because they weren't scared to die. It's hard to stop a person when they ain't scared to die. It's hard to turn somebody around when you're not scared to die. Because the only thing you can threaten me with is death. And when we get to a place that you're not threatened by death, that nobody can stop you. There's no fear in you because our fear is in death. That's what Jesus came to deliver us from, the fear of death. He came to let us know if you die, it's going to be all right. You're going to ride. You're going to live again. No, don't worry about it. You're going to live again. Don't be scared. If they kill you, I'm going to raise you back up. You see, when Abraham took Isaac out there, Abraham wasn't afraid to kill Isaac because he knew that God raised the dead.
Good point.
He was willing to carry out what God told him to do. Is because he believed that God raised the dead. So Abraham was saying within himself, if I kill Isaac, God's going to raise him up because there's a promise on Isaac that children are going to be born after him, and it's going to be through Isaac's seed, even through that promise, because of the promise that was made that God had already put on Isaac. Abraham wasn't afraid to go kill Isaac because he believed that God quickens the dead. That was why he was able to do what he did by faith.
Good point.
Verse 9. Read it, Sister Faith.
We're not descended of death.
Start at verse 7. Let me see. Yeah, start at verse 7.
And our hope of you is steadfast.
Uh-huh.
knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering.
If we are partakers of the suffering.
So shall ye also be of the consolation.
So we're going to be partakers of the consolation. So there's got to be some suffering in it. I got to be willing to do that. If I partake of one part, I can also partake of the glory. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if we want to be partakers of the glory, you also got to be partakers of the suffering.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
If we're going to be partakers of the light, we got to be partakers of the death. That is why we partook with Jesus. That's why we were baptized under death. Amen. When you're baptized, you're being baptized under death so you can partake with that death. So that's what? You can also partake with that light when you come up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about a death, burial, and resurrection, isn't it?
That's right.
This is why we put Jesus out front here, because we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and we believe if we partake of his suffering, amen, or we partake of his death, we also going to partake of the resurrection, amen. Hallelujah. We partake of his suffering, we can also partake of his glory, but I can't be afraid to die. If Jesus had been afraid to die, we would still be in sin.
We all be in trouble.
I mean,
now,
if
we
all
be dead.
Huh?
We all be dead.
We all be dead.
Yep.
So right there, it shows that he had a sentence of death in his life. Rather than to try to get himself out of trouble, he went on, took the punishment and judgment to die, didn't he? He could have delivered himself by one word coming out of his mouth. He could have got delivered, but what? He partook of the death because he knew he was going to partake of the resurrection. Come on, y'all. Amen. Read on.
So we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Above strength.
Uh-huh.
And so much that we despair even for life.
There was even despair. That let you know how far down they were pushed. Amen. They just thought they was gonna die. Amen. It got so good. That's how bad it got. But they still didn't give up. Read on.
But we have the sentence of death in ourselves.
We have. Note what he said here now. We have a sentence of death where?
In ourselves.
We've got to get a sentence of death in ourselves or on ourselves. This is what faith is. I'm going to sentence myself to death. In other words, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to follow Jesus if I sentence myself to death. Amen. Because I know I got a resurrection coming. Amen. See, this is the hope that we have. We have hope of the resurrection. Amen. Jesus gave us the hope of the resurrection. And we know it's the last enemy. See, the last enemy hasn't been destroyed yet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. He took the sting out of death, amen, where that we could overcome death. But the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Amen.
And then when that enemy is destroyed, then we don't die no more because the thing that was killing us is gone, amen. This old body, this old flesh, amen. But they say, well, we had a sentence of what? Death.
Ourselves.
In ourselves. Uh-huh.
We should not trust in ourselves.
I don't want to trust in myself because, you know, if I take it upon myself to trust myself that I can save myself, then I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But my trust had to be in the living God. Are y'all with me tonight?
Mm-hmm.
A sentence of death.
I'm here.
We don't like to talk about that a lot, but it's coming to that. When I get to a place I'm not afraid to die, you can't threaten me with nothing else. I'm going to kill you. Okay. Have fun. You going to cut my head off? Well, go ahead. Amen. I'm still going to do it. I'm not giving up on Jesus. I'm not turning away from Jesus. You want to cut my head off? Let me lay it down on the block for you.
But now, see, now the Hebrew boys, they had that faith. They had that faith. They were a burn to lead to somebody else. Now, to me, as the people on this earth today, there ain't no faith out here. That's a big, man, it's very, very, to the way people climb today. I just don't believe that they would stand up like the Hebrew boy did.
Well, I'm trying to say we got to have faith to get there. That's why God said, you know, when he said, when he comes, he's going to find in the faith on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the trouble, your troubles and your trials and everything that's going to come and the tribulation and stuff that's coming upon us for a little while, so we know we're going to be saved out of it. Amen. God always saves us out of something. Now, everybody said, well, I'm going to escape everything. Well, at least he told them people they're going to be in that 10 days, didn't he? And Revelation said they're going to be in that 10 days. Amen.
Yeah.
But
and
then
like
he said,
like that man was saying.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. That the man was saying.
God's going to bring us out of something.
Amen. Amen. We got to have faith.
That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead.
Who is it we should trust in?
God.
We should trust in the God that raised the dead, amen.
Yeah.
I've got to put my confidence in God, amen. In God do I put my trust, amen. Praise God. And God is my salvation, amen. Amen. He's my place of protection, amen. Even if I go to the grave, I'm still going to be protected, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And then, well, I might sleep a little while, but I know I'm going to wake up, amen. Do you realize every night you go to sleep, you put your hand in the hand of God. Every night you close your eyes, you're asleep, you're dead.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing went on in your sleep while you're asleep. But when you woke up, everything was back to the same, back to normal, amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thing, amen? When we die in the Lord, and even though you go to the grave, when you wake up, everything gonna be right back to normal. Amen. Isn't that a good thing? Hallelujah. But you're gonna start right where you left off at. Amen. You ain't gonna miss nothing. You know, it's just like going to sleep at night. When you wake up, you don't miss nothing. The thing that was yesterday, you still remember today. Isn't that a good thing that God's gonna do for us?
That's why I say when I wake up, I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. You give me another change. Oh, that's what's right there in my mind. Thank you, Lord. You gave me another day. I got another chance. For every day God gives you, that means he's giving you another chance to put your book, to put your name in the book of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every day, he gives you another chance. And even
Amen.
When you die, you got another chance. Come on, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
We got another chance in God. Amen. You ought to give God some praise because that is why you're not going to be afraid to die. You're not afraid to die because you know if you die, you know you're going to live again. Amen.
Yes.
If the devil kills you, he can't keep you dead. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He can kill you, but he can't keep you dead.
Amen.
That's where my faith got to be. You can kill me, but you can't keep me dead. If you kill, you destroy this house, this temple, in 3 days I raise it up again. Come on, somebody. That's the faith we got to have. Just like Jesus had that faith to say, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days I raise it up again. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
As you said, for God I live, for God I die.
Let's finish reading this, Sister Faith.
Verse 10. Deliver us from so great a death.
Well, what does he deliver us from?
So great a death.
He deliver us from so great a death. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets all right to have a sense of death in himself because he know what? God was going to deliver him from that death. Our faith is always in God believing that if God raised up Jesus from the dead, he will raise us up from the dead. And that is the faith that we have in God, that if God raised Jesus, he's going to raise me up also. And so if I die, I'm going to die in the Lord. And even if I die in the Lord, I'm just going to sleep in the Lord. And after a while, I'm going to wake up and be resurrected. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Read on.
And God delivered in whom we trust, and he will yet deliver us.
So he said he delivered us and does do it deliver us.
Mm-hmm.
And whom we trust. See, that is where we talk about, this is why we got to have faith. This is where the faith comes in at. people of faith has a death sentence on their life. They're trying to get there anyway, amen. We're trying to get there. Come on, church, we're trying to get there now. We know we need to get there. Because out of all the stuff that's coming, I got to be willing to die rather than to switch. Yes.
Amen.
I got to be willing to die. If I know I'm taking the mark, I got to be willing to die rather than to take it, amen. Now the Bible tells us to be watchful at all times. Because, you know, the devil likes to sneak things in on you where you don't know it. Somebody asked me, well, can you take the mark without knowing it? And I don't know about that. Maybe somebody else can answer that question. But I'll find that later on. But do you think you can take it without knowing it?
No, you can't take it without knowing, because as you went to read Revelation explains what you got to do. Because, I mean, I ain't not getting into it, man, but Revelation tell you.
Explain what Revelation said then, Brother Brian.
I mean, I said, you read it. I mean, it's tell you, because God got his angels. That death got to be, when you, God's angel, according to Revelation, his angels got to be running around preaching to the world about the do not take the beast. Read it. He got four angels. Sit up there.
I know that's what it says. It's going to happen, but I was asking the question, do you think you can take it without knowing it?
Yeah, I believe I can't take it without knowing it.
Do you think that something can be eased in on you, and especially if you're not paying any attention? That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. Be watchful, amen.
No,
amen.
I don't think anybody can do that.
Do you think you can take it? Did somebody else have something to put in there?
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah,
Pastor.
Go ahead, brother.
Which one?
Yeah.
Brother Darrell, go ahead.
All right. Well, I believe you can take it without knowing it, because you got to look at the characteristics of what the mark is. Because I'm not one of them people that believe that the vaccine is the mark of the beast, but I believe it has a lot of characteristics of the mark of the beast. Like, for instance, in California and New York, in certain places, you can't go in unless you have proof that you have been vaccinated. That's a characteristic of the mark of the beast.
All right.
That's something against my will. In other words, I have to be vaccinated in order to go in here and buy something to eat. I have to, in California, we got one of the mothers in California. She was, you know, with Apostle Curry, she kind of distanced herself from Apostle Curry because he was saying don't take the vaccine. But in her situation, with her health conditions and her age and her sight and her not being able to walk and all that, she can't have any caregivers because she hadn't taken the vaccine. So she had to take the vaccine in order to receive medical treatment. So I'm not saying it is the mark of the beast. I'm saying it has a lot of characteristics of it. Mm. Amen.
But wouldn't that be like being able to, you know, for Christ I live, for Christ I die? I mean, just because she needed medical attention, I'm not saying, you know, nothing wrong with that, but I'm just, yeah, I really am. But that wouldn't that be for Christ I live, for Christ I die?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, my thing is, I believe that also, I take it like who are those people? The Jehovah's Witness people. I take it like them. Now, I'm not saying that they're a good example, but I'm trying to say the example that they do. You know, if they go to the hospital, they refuse to take a blood transfusion.
True.
They would rather die than take a blood transfusion.
Yep.
They have a sentence of death. They bleed that much against the blood transfusion that they would rather just go on die and rather than to take a blood transfusion. Now, even with us, now, I'm not saying that the vaccine is the mark, but I'm saying it's associated with it because this is the way it started. They're making you do something against your own will.
Dare you.
And the only way you, and the only way you can get service, and the only way you can go here, and the only way you can go there, and then if you're in the government, the only way you can get, after a while, it'll be the only way you can get a government assistance, the only way you can get a check from the government is going to be that you have to do what they say do. Amen. It's just like a lot of the churches. We talk about the churches sometimes when they start getting money from the government. The only way they get that, only way they can get money from the government, they can't do certain things, or they can't get money from the government. Amen. But
to have
to come to a faith, huh?
Well, I wanted to tell you. Good.
Go ahead.
I'm one of Pastor Carey's members. And,
all right.
God told me it's a way of them controlling us. That's how it started with the virus.
All right.
The vaccination is their way of controlling us. So if they can get everybody controlled, they got it.
Amen.
The way I think about it, the way I've seen it, and the way I've been explaining it to me, because I have people in my family that have had that stuff. They already caught it from somebody else. My sister, she caught it from somebody else. My daughter and her husband, my daughter caught it from the period that she went. She went home and brought it home to her husband and her daughter. Now, me, myself, if you got a cold, I don't want to be around you if you got a bad cold. So my grandson come in the house, and I love him so much. That's why I stayed in the house, because I love him so much. He come in, he couldn't hardly talk. And guess what? Me, my wife, and him, we slept in the house for a whole month. Couldn't hardly clean but talk to each other because we had no boys. See, that's what I think about the COVID-19. Even Gino, his church, I don't know what you got. You know, in this day and time, I don't know what you got. And I'm not gonna go around you if I don't know. I trust my people. But if I don't know you, I ain't going around you. You know, and ain't that I'm scared. You know what I'm saying? It ain't that I'm afraid, but I'm not gonna trust my life around you. So you not telling about, like my sister the other day, her husband. He didn't know he had it. Out there hugging people, didn't know he had it, caught it, went home, get it to his wife. You know? You don't know, I'm dissing myself from you in this time of day. In this time now, I'm dissing myself. Anybody that don't know, that's all right. You know, y'all go ahead and do what y'all want to do, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, I'll just ask the question. I'm trying to see. I'll just ask him tonight. What about, go ahead, Brother Darryl. You can go next.
All right, well, what I wanted to voice on that is that what I see, like when the pandemic first started and they were saying social distance, wear gloves, et cetera, I was looking for them to use that right there as an excuse to take away cash, using cash in our system, you know, which would lead to the mark of the beast. And so it didn't happen. But I still see this effort, and that it's only in America, by the way, that, you know, you have preachers that are really working for the enemy, knowingly putting out false information to keep people from taking the vaccination when we've been taking vaccinations for years. This vaccination is not the mark of the beast, okay? But they're using that. Why? To create division and confusion. And so where people will be like, oh, well, the Bible said this. Well, that part must not be wrong because this ain't it. When people aren't really reading their Bible or understanding, it's clear to me. I firmly believe we are in the last days when those angels that were loosed by God and they poured out their diseases and plagues across the land. The evidence is here. Here with this virus, for years, ministers said, oh, it'll be a time you'll have one disease after another. We have this in Corona. One disease after another. Forget about SARS and all this other stuff the past few years, but more and more frequently. And now look how frequent these what they're calling variants of Corona 19 But why, if it's a variant of Corona 19, why are they giving it a completely different name? You understand what I'm saying? Now, maybe innocent, maybe not so innocent, but it could still be a coronavirus, but they're giving it a different name. Now, coronaviruses have been around for years, but this Corona 19 is something different. So it's a different virus. I don't care if it's a virus in the same category. And it's one variant after the other. Now, the laws of what they're doing, trying to get people, because there's an element that's saying they're doing this for God's sake, okay, to be closer with God, they're saying don't take the vaccine. So then the government's saying, well, then we're going to have to get laws to try to keep these people alive. Now, these same laws will force people to have to take the mark of the beast when it's time that mark comes. And the Bible tells us, beware of the mark of the beast.
Okay? Be watchful of it.
Right.
Huh?
That's all right. Again, it says, in the end, the deception of the enemy will get it, will fool the very elite if it were possible. So this mark of the beast, you know, which is all going to come into place before the Antichrist, my belief, before the Antichrist, you know, steps up on his throne, you know, it's going to come about by these efforts. I lost my tone of thought for a minute, but virus is not it, but it's making where they're going to make the laws to usher this in. And if you don't take this mark, oh well, you're an enemy of the state. Oh, you may be diseased or whatever they're going to put out there to force you to take it. And a lot of people, since you have so many pastors on television and stuff like that that are putting out pure false information, they're going to bust hell wide open. They're going after the money and not God's word. And that is a problem leading people astray. You see?
Amen.
But it's all working towards. And again, we have to remember, there'll be many false prophets in the last days. So we're looking for Jim Joneses. Well, here we have Christian, so-called Christian evangelists that are false prophets. They ain't going to, they out here, they nothing but motivational speakers and putting in false information, leading God's children astray. Bust hell wide open. That's a problem.
But, amen.
Go ahead.
If I sure wish I got some chapter and verses, I sure would I get everybody these chapter and verses, the thing right there, and they can learn about life and about these false prophets. Man, I got you just don't have no idea. I mean, the baptizers. I got chapter and verse, you know, to tell you about the beware, what to be looking forward to. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I didn't like to hear what the preacher say, but me, myself, I'm going at it my own way. I'm getting this book. This Bible is the life. The Bible is my life. And that's what I care about. You know, so everybody got their own thoughts, and I got my thoughts.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to make one more point. Back in the Roman days when they were killing the Christians in the early days, those Christians, they went in the arenas once they were captured. I mean, some of them ran, but then they went into the stadiums, and they just allowed themselves to be murdered. And that's how they felt that necessary. I'd rather just stand here and let the dogs or whatever, lions, eat us up. But, you know, their faith in God, okay, God is going to, you know, be there. We're going to go to heaven. Now, I personally feel so they could have fought and not lost their faith. They could have fought back and ran or whatever and not lost their salvation. But if that's what it took for them to keep the love in their heart, to keep God's commandments, God bless them. I'm sure they are rewarded. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
If Jehovah's Witnesses feel like don't take blood fusions, you know, they're exercising their faith. I may not agree with the way they're exercising their faith, but I pray God understands it and delivers them. I'll take a blood transfusion, but I'm not just going to say, oh yeah, give me any blood. No, I want more up on this. You know, but because I feel so my faith and my strength in God is stronger than that. God healed the woman at the well. She went to all the doctors. She went all over the place trying to get healed of her disease. Spent all everything she had, but then all she needed was Jesus. And so God wasn't against the medicine, okay? But when the medicine fell, he was there. You see what I'm saying? He was there. He was all we needed, you know? And he didn't say don't go to the doctors. No, I can't find nowhere he said don't go to the doctors. If it wasn't for God, the doctors wouldn't have the knowledge to help you. Look at the cancer situation.
Amen.
Okay? Here I am struck with cancer. Now, many of my father's side of the family died from cancer. I don't know what kind because I was too young. I know my Uncle Jimmy had some kind of cancer in his back. My dad had cancer on his leg. You know, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a blood transfusion. My next-door neighbor said, oh, man, one of my friends just died from that. Very painful death. Okay, well, if God's ready to take me, hey, thank you, Lord. I'm ready to go if that's your will, but I'm going to keep on going until that day. Now, look what happened. A coincidence. I had got hit in the eye by my son was sparring, and it irritated the scrope behind my eye, okay, which led to problems that I had. I was out of work and stuff. Then they found that I had this cancer, which they would not have found. The cancer doctor, once we finally got there, he said it would have been another 18 months. He said that as much as 18, what did he say? It was something about 18 months or more, but I would have had the same symptoms that brought me there. He said, but by that time, you know, there would have been at least irreversible damage, okay? And not to mention, the cancer was isolated to my cranial. Had it come down below my neck, it would have been a different story. But now the kicker is this fact. Remember, my next-door neighbor, his friend died from it. Very painful, okay? Now, Rituxan, a specific cancer-fighting agent, a human extract, a specific cancer-fighting agent, brand spanking new on the market, just came out. And here I get sent to a doctor who's on the forefront of that, and he says, they said, treat me with Rituxan, and I think it was chemo. And he said, if I use both, I don't know what's working, and I believe this is going to do it. So here I am, no radiation. No chemo, none of that, just Rituxan. And glory to God, I'm still cancer-free. The devil's defeated. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Cancer-free.
Hallelujah.
But,
thank you, Jesus.
But did I get healed
Hallelujah.
In church? Do I go to church? Yes. Did I pray about this? Yes. Look how God answered my prayers. So he could do things miraculously right there with the laying on of hands, or by you just being on your knees, giving glory to God and thanking him, asking him to take your issues to God and not the streets, not the neighbors, in some cases, not even your wife, you know, but
Amen.
Taking it to him.
Hallelujah.
You. But on other times, he might choose you, let you send you to just the right doctor at the right time with the brand new drug
Amen.
That's on the market. My God is awesome.
Amen.
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 Well,
man,
yes.
I can't go back to that testimony. I was just asking, do you think my question was, do you think you can be able to take it unknowingly? And that was all I was asking about it. But praise God
yes.
for everything that has transpired. You know, I just asking that question, amen. But I know one thing leads to the other thing. Not saying that thing is it, but it leads to it. Everything it leads to something else. It's almost like a hook. And it's like a hook
to the worm. Pastor, people are not going to know that there are people that's not going to know that they're taking the mark of the beast, but they're not going to be objecting to it either because they don't know the word of God. And that's a problem right now. And that's where these false prophets, most of them on TV, like the one that just died from COVID, putting out false, knowingly false. Not that they think this is true. They know it's not true. And they're putting that information out and mixing it with the word of God, deceiving God's children.
Amen.
That's Jesus, Lord, have mercy.
But praise God. Amen. We got to get off here for time's sake. I know, you know, some people want to walk by faith.
And when you're walking by your faith, if you die in your faith, I still believe that's gain. And then people gonna go other ways. But you got to know where you are within yourself. You got to know what you can believe God for. What one person can believe God for, we all should be able to believe him for the same thing. But some of us, we just ain't got that yet. You know, Psalms 91 talks about oppression. All the COVID is the pestilence. That's really the name of it. It's the pestilence that's being sent. Now, God didn't make a promise that he'll deliver. Now, if you can believe God for that, then you stand on that word right there for yourself. And the other person that can't believe on it, if you can't believe God for that, you better go do what you need to do.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the way I believe it. That's the way I like to put it. I leave it like that. It's according to your, Jesus says, according to your faith.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say one more thing before you go. You know, because John was speaking to his spirit. God said John in the spirit so he could see the future. You know, so all the things that John was seeing, he's telling us about. And that's why I said, God has put his angel out and preached to the people, do not take that mark. Do not take, that's why I said. John was in the spirit. He was seen ahead of time. He was seeing of it to happen. He was seeing the head of time. Read the Bible and understand it. He was seeing it ahead of time. Okay? He was looking to the future. Now, we don't know what happens to the future. Do we?
God is a God that preached the ending to the beginning. So God has already declared the future already.
Okay, but we can't see it, you know. That's why we got the Bible. You okay? You know, but anyway, go ahead on. Everybody got their own thoughts. But to me, God got warned us before we did that mess.
Well, amen. I believe we already been warned, but at the same time, I just asked the question. Do you believe you can take it without knowing it? And I want to know if so. And that's all we was talking about, amen. So we're going to get off tonight, amen. We got to go tonight. I know time has run out. We here, I know we probably keep going on this subject,
sure.
But this says, still, I like to say, be thou faithful unto death. I'm going to put it like this. Whatever you found out from the word of God, stand on that word.
That's
and
me.
Be faithful and hold on to it, even if it kills you.
Amen.
And if we say God's word will get us through or take us through if we believe, and whatever the word has said, he said we can have if you believe. And so it takes faith. If a man, some people have cancer, some people believe God and get to overcome cancer without going to the doctor. And others that don't have that faith, they go there and let the doctor help them out. So we're not against doctors. We're not against medicine. We're not against any of those things. We're just saying, if you can believe God for something, you stand on what you believe, what you can believe God for. I'm not going to kick you for believing what you want to believe, amen, or what you can believe for. If I haven't got there yet, pray for me to get there. And so, amen. Somebody going to take us out tonight. Somebody want to pray us out tonight. Praise God. We got to get off here. Don't Minister Ray coming on at 9. We done stayed here, but he'd be on at 9. 120-110-69 pound if you want to join in. The same. And thank you for the visitors that came on tonight. I thank y'all for showing up and joining in. Y'all continue to come. Amen. We're going to try to get it where you can have a little input and hear what everybody got to have a little input so we can talk about it and discuss it. And so I appreciate all of you coming. May God bless and keep you. Amen. Who wants to take us out of here?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Bible study tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word that blessed us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for having faith in your word and faith in you. Because you're the only one that can deliver us out of the hands of the enemy. And we just thank you, Lord. And we just give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And for all everyone that's online tonight, thank you for continuing to bless them tomorrow throughout the day. and bless them tonight. And we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless
you. Amen.
Thank you. We'll see y'all later, the Lord's willing. Amen. We'll see y'all Sunday. Amen. And y'all men, don't forget Brother Darryl, Prevo. Y'all join me on Friday if you can. If you're not working Friday at 10 o'clock, I want to hear your testimony, Brother Darryl. You got a good testimony that everybody would like to hear.
Okay.
That's 319-2020. If you're not working, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Amen. So God bless and keep y'all tonight. Thank y'all for joining in. Thank you for the input that you put in. Next week, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but y'all be ready to jump in there. Amen.
Amen. And I enjoyed y'all tonight, whoever y'all were. Man, I enjoyed you, fellas. I just, we all just talked together. Everybody talked with sense tonight. You know?
Everybody talked with sense tonight. Oh. You never brought down.
All right. God bless y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
This album is dedicated to everybody that's been gone. I hope you've enjoyed this record. I hope it's ministered to your heart and soul. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. And we'll be praying for your family too. I just got one more thing I want to leave with you. If you're going through something, family.
In the conference.
When I cannot feel
y'all wouldn't pray if you didn't go through something. And when you go through something, that's when you meet Jesus. Can I get a witness of this? And listen, if you're really sick in your body and feel like giving up, listen.
When the sickness won't leave my body,
yes, sir.
And the pain just won't leave my soul,
this is all you gotta do.
I get on my knees to say Jesus, please.
Call them.
There's a blessing in the storm.
I need a witness in here.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm.
Some of y'all have been into some bad relationships, and some of you had your heart broken and you've been lied to. I want to let you know that there is a lover named Jesus, and he will supply your every need. Family.
When I cannot see the love again.
Yes, sir.
And the raindrops cold.
But if you just hold on,
if you just hold on,
these clouds,
those clouds will soon be gone.
Yes, sir.
There's a blessing in the storm.
Come on, somebody.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing.
Here we go. Listen. Go ahead and let them talk about you. Because remember...